Hello, Bulls Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. Today, we're going to be joined by a very special guest. So, I've had on two of the three Bulls outsiders so far. John Sabine joined us in episode 3. Matt Peck joined us for a two-part episode in episode 9. And today, we're being joined by Big Dave Watson. So, I'm really excited. Dave, of course, is one of the three panelists on Bulls Outsiders and hosts the Ball on Bulls podcast. But before we get to him, just wanted to thank all the listeners so far who have followed our Twitter handle, listened to the podcast, you know, downloading and streaming it, all the available platforms, you know, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, even TuneIn for those who still use it. And it's been amazing to see in just 2 months the numbers that we've had in terms of downloads and streams. And that's a big credit to you guys and Bulls Nation, all who have listened from not just Chicago area or the United States, but around the world. So it's greatly appreciated. And I said this in one of the tweets we put out, that we've only scratched the surface. We have a lot of special episodes and guests on tap in the coming months, and we hope to even have more as we get into the 2020 season and beyond. So again, thank you so much for listening. And if you could be so kind, please subscribe on any of those platforms that we named. That way you can get the latest updates on when we post episodes. So if you're not on Twitter that day and you know we put out a podcast, you'll be able to find out if you follow or subscribe. So let's bring in our guest. He is a panelist on Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, and the host of the Ball on Bulls podcast. He is Big Dave Watson. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Feeling good, Matt. Thanks for having me on, my man.
So, of course, I'm excited to have you on here because you want to hear your thoughts on the Bulls and hear you lay out a rebuilding plan, but I'm really stoked because you complete the Bulls Outsiders trifecta. John Sabine, Matt Pack, and now Big Dave Watson have all joined the podcast, so congrats on rounding that out, Dave.
I think you went in the correct order also, sir. This is the correct order to go. You just saved me for last. You went with the two stars first, and you just bring me in to smooth it on out. That's the right order.
You always have to save the best for last. That's what I always think.
I think I don't agree with Vanessa Williams on that, but you know, we'll go with it.
I like that. Let's start there. So before we get into the Bulls, just want to know how your experience was this past season on Bulls Outsiders.
Oh man. I kept using the word surreal a lot, so I guess I'll stick with that. It was very surreal, just how everything happened, how it came together, how I even became a part of it. But just, I can't tell you how many times I sat in that room watching that television, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting with Will Perdue, Kendall Gill, Mark Schanowski, and Horace Grant talking Bulls and watching the game, and they're actually listening to what we have to say. You know what I mean? Like, they're actually accepting it and saying, hey, that was a pretty good point. Or, you know, just having a laugh, or, you know, just doing, you know, normal kind of things, but just with guys who were always like some of my childhood idols in media and in sports. You know what I mean? So it was very surreal for me. The fact that I know them and I can call them on a first name basis is ridiculous. The fact that Matt and John are like real cool with me and we're real tight is also silly, that how easily we just clicked and connected. It's been very surreal, man, but I am completely blessed and I am super honored that I get to do it all the time. People would ask me, how did you do all those games? Like, was it hard because the team sucked? And I would say the hardest thing about my job was traffic and putting on a microphone. Like, it's not hard when it's your team that you love. You know, I was going to do this anyway, you know, because I do it on a podcast. I watch the Bulls all the time. Like, it's nothing that I didn't do and nothing I wouldn't have done regardless of the position I have now. But, man, I'm so happy to have this position, man. And just having that company believe in us as they do, and having our producer, Kevin Bulldog Anderson, believe in us, man, and all the people around us just letting us be silly and be ourselves and talk Bulls and connect with fans, bro. Like, It's really, really surreal, but I'm completely honored that I get to do it.
You know, you brought up the fact that the three of you just really clicked, and it was very noticeable right from Jump Street, and I think it got better as the season went on. How did you guys just click that fast, though? Like, that doesn't happen a lot in television.
Yeah, it doesn't. I came in, I would think the first audition, I came in with C. Red Fred. He's the reason I even had the position, because he thought of me when it came up. So I came in with him, and John and I connected initially, like from the jump. We connected because he's extremely talented and funny. Like, I was just cracking up listening to him, so we was just cracking jokes the whole time. And then I found out he loves wrestling and I love wrestling, so then there was something else, and I was like, man, this dude is mad cool. He is super funny. And I was like, man, I hope I get to actually see him again. I didn't know if I was going to get a second audition or not, because, you know, in my opinion, I sucked, but everybody's hard on themselves. So when I got the second audition, I came back as myself, because I wasn't myself in the first one. I was, you know, I was nervous. I didn't know what they wanted. Like, I kept telling them, I'm a big black dude with long hair. Like, I don't see anybody on television that looks like me that doesn't play sports. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know. You know what I mean? I didn't know what they wanted. I didn't know what they were looking for, whatever. So the second time I came, I said, I'm just going to come being me. If you don't like me for me, that's completely fine. You know, I'm completely okay with that. And that second time we came in, they paired Matt, John, and I together. And we just had a ball just sitting there talking about not only basketball, but we got into a Tom Hanks conversation about how you shouldn't get on anything Tom Hanks is on because it's going to crash or it's going to go down. you know what I mean? Like, this is the conversation we had. And then after we started doing the show, Matt and I bonded strictly off arguing. I was straight up debating, and that's how most of my friends are with me. That's how we are. We argue. All my friends are not like me. You know what I mean? They're all different. They have different, their own thoughts. They have their own ideologies. But the respect of it is that they stand on what they say, and they believe what they say, and they stand on it, you know, and they're going to, you know what I'm saying, present their point. And that's why I love about Matt so much, is Matt is going to stand on it and I'm going to stand on it. And so we would just go back and forth on that all the time. But it was never disrespectful. It was always a mutual respect, you know what I mean, about what that person was saying. So that's how he and I bonded on that. And then we found out we think alike in a lot of ways, which is terrifying for most people. So, yeah, it was just an easy transition, and I enjoyed seeing them every time I went there. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed seeing John. I genuinely enjoyed seeing him, and I genuinely enjoyed seeing Matt. And this offseason, it would feel like I hadn't seen them for, like, 3 or 4 weeks, and it had just been a week. You know, like, it was things like that. But, yeah, our bond was really easy and really organic because everybody was themselves. I like when people are themselves around me, for good or bad or better or worse. I'm not going to judge you. You know, you be who you are, because I'm going to be who I am. And it was easy after that, when everybody is just themselves and, you know, saying what they feel is true and saying what they feel is real. And, man, and just laughing and having a good time about things, man. So the bond is, it's not normal, like you said. It wasn't normal at all for us to come together like that. But, yeah, we definitely came together. We definitely clicked.
Actually, two quick thoughts on that. In our third episode with John Sabine, John brought up the fact that when he was at that audition with you, that he came home and said to his fiance at the time, now his wife, I believe, that he's like, I just met somebody that I really just want to be friends with. So, I mean, that's kind of speaks to that, too.
that's funny. He's told me that. And it's weird because I did the same thing with my brother. Like, I didn't say I wanted to be friends. I said, it was this guy there named John, man. He was really funny, man. Like, he was just real funny. He was the only person I went and looked up on Twitter when he gave me his Twitter information. I said, I'm about to follow this dude. I was like, this dude is funny, man. Like, I want to hang out with him again. Like, I think it'd be mad cool. So, yeah, no, like I said, the feelings were mutual between all three of us. It was nothing phony about it.
Absolutely. And like what you said with you and Matt, like, you guys had some pretty good battles, you know, notably over Jabari Parker and early in the season. But it did seem like, you know, it wasn't a spiteful type thing. It was just a really, you know, genuine, nuanced debate. And it was great, though. I mean, it really did kind of remind you of like barroom talk, you know, like two of your buddies are just sitting there going at it and you're just watching and it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, that's exactly what it was. The only thing that's missing were pints. That's the only thing that was missing from us and our arguments.
Try bringing that on next season if you could. That'd be kind of cool.
You say that like we didn't try this season. Like we put in effort, so, but yeah, didn't go like that. Sponsor, hey, we're open to it, but Budweiser, Coors, anybody?
Schlitz.
Yes. Don't drink Schlitz, kids. Don't do that. Do not drink Schlitz malt liquor. My God, don't drink any malt liquor at all, ever.
You also host Ball on Bowls. Real quick, how long have you been doing that podcast, and have you seen an uptick since you've been on Bowls Outsiders?
Sure. We started that podcast, I believe, 2013, maybe. Yeah, we were doing solid numbers to begin with. We saw an uptick for sure. Once I started doing the show, it was definitely an uptick in numbers and things like that. Our show, it's so much fun to do with my friend Chris. Chris mm-hmm. is the person I do it with. Christopher Jordan, you can follow him at Ball Sports One. It's so much fun doing it with him because, again, it's the same with Matt and John. Like, it's conversations that we have all the time. Just we have microphones in front of us. Like, we would be doing that if there were no microphones there at all. And we argue a lot. Like Chris and I, we debate. We have different points of view. And but we're silly. Like we'll have really silly, ridiculous conversation, a lot of pop culture stuff, a lot of music stuff, or anything about cartoons or animation and, you know, things that are movies or TV series and things like that. And we'll get finished with and be like, oh yeah, let's talk about the Bulls. You know, so that's our show. Like, it's very loose, but it's very informative because Chris is really intelligent and very smart and a serious, serious Bulls fan. Like me, I love the Bulls. So it's fun to do. Like I said, we about 2013, definitely an uptick in listeners. But, you know, we'd love to get more people checking out the show, seeing what they like. We'd love to have you on. And yeah, it's fun to do. It's just fun to do.
I don't want to bring your listens down by coming on. So where can people where can people find the podcast? Just can let our listeners know.
Sure, you can find the podcast. Bow, BAWL. You have to say it like Avery Johnson is saying it. Ball on Bulls. BAWLSports.com. You can go there. We're on anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're there. Spotify, iTunes. Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn Media. I mean, anywhere, Player FM, it doesn't matter. Anywhere you go for your podcast listening, we are there. So please check us out.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'm one of those people that started listening around the time that I caught you guys on Bulls Outsiders. So you're getting a listener in me from that, and I definitely have it as part of my ongoing rotation of all the Bulls podcasts that are out there because it's one big happy family out there. I can tell you that.
It really is, yeah. Yeah, it's good to see more. When we first started, there weren't a lot. There weren't a lot of podcasts doing it. Again, See Red Fred is why we even started the Bulls podcast we were doing. So there weren't a lot of them. There were about maybe four. And now there are much more than four now, so which is good because Bulls fans, as you know, are 365 days a year. It's year-round. The love for Bulls fans.
No doubt, and it's also global. So it makes the need even greater.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
I remember back in the day when I think one of the only podcasts that was out there was like Doug Tonis's podcast. Remember that one?
My man, the Pod Father. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
I think he used to be on like when I was in college at the time. He was probably on my train like planning out his podcast because I found out listening to one of them. He's like, oh yeah, when I'm coming in from Schaumburg, and I'm like, man, that's the train I'm on. So I was always trying to look for him.
Try to see it. You should, if you get a chance, you should definitely go to his draft parties. His Bulls draft parties are becoming really legendary. Like they are really awesome, good time. All Bulls fans are there. All people with podcasts are there. If you're on Real GM, like everybody who's on Real GM, they're usually there also. It's a blast. It's so much fun. But everybody goes there and sits and, you know, watches the Bulls draft and has a good time talking to other Bulls fans.
Sweet. Is it one of those parties where there's like a mirror being passed around with some stuff? Or
if it is, I'm not partaking. That is not my style. But if it's a glass bottle, you know, with some writing of maybe Michelob or Bud or Lagunitas or something on the side, that's coming my way. And that's going to happen. Yeah, and there's definitely food there, too. The Bulls, last year, the Bulls sent some stuff over. You know, they sent hats over for everyone who was at the event. So it's grown bigger and bigger every single year, man. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So let's get into the fun of this. So I am going to put you into the role of an executive of the Bulls and have you lay out a rebuilding plan. How's that sound?
Sounds terrifying for y'all, but thank you for letting me do this. Let's do it.
All right, so I'm going to take the role of the Reinsdorf family, and I've gone ahead. I fired Gar Forman. I reassigned John Paxson to some fake ambassadorship that the Bulls love to hand out, and I am hiring you, Dave Watson, as the new Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. What's your first order of business?
First order of business is to thank you for getting rid of Gar Forman. That's first order of business. Thank you for doing that. Secondly, I would like to get a GM in place, somebody to run the day to day, because this little thing, I'm going to be behind the scenes. I don't want to be super hands on, you know what I mean? But this other stuff I'm going to do, I'm going to get to in a minute. But I would like to hire a guy, you know, kind of like Jerry West or something like that, to come in, you know, that kind of GM style, because I just trust him. He makes moves where when he makes them, you say, what did you do that for? And then it immediately pays dividends probably like 2 months later. You're like, oh, my goodness, that was really a smart decision to make. So I would rather have him on my team doing that, handling all those bins, because I just trust him. The things that I'm going to take care of, OK, from the jump street are little things, because I don't like a lot of the little things that's going on. Like, number one thing I don't like is the fact that the Jordan statue is inside the building. That's coming outside. If I'm running things, that's coming outside and sitting outside of the building, sir. I don't know why they moved it inside. Do you know how many people I know told me when they get to Chicago, the first thing they would always say was, man, I want to go see the Jordan statue. I want to go see the statue. I want to stand in front of it. I want to take pictures. And they can't do that now, because now you see you're sitting inside looking sad when it's like neon lights flashing off of it. It just don't look right, man. Like, it doesn't look right. Like, it just looks wrong. Like, it should be outside standing there, you know, like a sphinx, you know what I mean, in front of a pyramid, guarding, letting you know that greatness happened inside of this building. You know what I mean? It should be out there, man. So I'm putting the Jordan statue back outside.
I don't know why they did that. I have no idea why they did that.
So frustrating. So frustrating to me. Second thing I'm dealing with is the visiting team's intro music. It upsets me that their music is good. Their music, they have good music. Do you remember they had... I can't remember the name of it, but the theme from Star Wars for Darth Vader.
Yes.
I'll skip the name. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, they had that theme going. That's a really cool thing to come out to. That's cool. You know, and then after that, they removed it, and then they gave you a mystical song, well, Beat Our Love, like, dun, 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 dun. And every time I hear it, I'm nodding my head to it. I'm like, yeah, man, like, I would love to be a visiting team coming. No, I want to hear trash. Your music should be trash, like it used to be in the 90s when it sounded like a psychedelic trash can was happening. Like, it was craziness happening when they had the visiting team music. So
that
I
was
want
Pink
that.
Floyd.
Is that what that was?
That
oh,
was Pink
man.
Floyd.
And they did a great job. Look, what Pink Floyd song was it? Please tell me.
I think it's called On the Run.
Okay. Man, look, I got to get on my Pink Floyd because The Wall is the only one I have. But yes, man. But that, yes. Take that. Play that. That didn't sound too appetizing or too, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, I like this. You know, it sounded abrasive. You know, it didn't sound cool and stuff like that. So I want that back. I want some abrasion back in there. Third thing I'm doing, and this should have been the first thing I did, was fire the entire medical staff. Everybody's got to go. Medical staff, training staff, I want them gone. They all have to leave year after year after year after year. Since Derrick Rose, we have dealt with these ridiculous amounts of injuries. I mean, I don't even want to get into the Luol Deng Spinal Tap situation. I mean, how many years do we have to deal with this, with somebody getting injured? Look at last year. Let's just take last year. You know, in your first practice, Lauri Markkanen destroys his elbow and is out for about a good 4 months. Like, that was terrible. Then Chris Dunn comes in after, you know, having a child. He comes in the first game, and then he's out. You know what I'm saying? And then Bobby Portis goes out. And then Denzel Valentine goes from day to day to no day at all because he's out for the entire season. And then like the Nick, like Zach LaVine was relatively healthy, you know, throughout the season, but some of those games he just sat out. Remember he was hurt, so he was out of the game. So he sat out a few of those, quite a few of those games, I should say. I'm sick of the training staff being the issue because it's always a problem with what they say to the information that gets to us. You know what I mean? Like it's always something in the middle that stops the truth of what they're saying to, by the time it gets to us. Because you know Denzel wasn't day to day, but for some reason, when it got to us, it was like, oh yeah, day to day, he'll be okay. And then they're like, oh yeah, he's out for the year. Wendell Carter Jr., for God's sakes, gone.
That
Chandler
was the
Hutchinson, gone.
Wendell one almost was it was inexcusable to me. Like that was all of a sudden it was like, oh yeah, you know, he might be out for a couple weeks, and then it was a whole season by the end of it.
whole season. It go and the Hutchinson one was so frustrating because he played on the injury. And Boylan commended him for playing on an injury. I'm like, yeah, if that's the playoffs, you commend him for that. This ain't the playoffs, bro. Like your team was bad. Like, yeah, I like the fact he was out there. And he had a good game that game. He had like 11 and 11. And then he's out for the season. You know, like that kind of thing is incompetent. And it's been happening for years and years and years, and it's frustrating. And they got to go. The entire medical staff has got to go. They're out of here. What else am I doing? Oh, I'm giving Scottie Pippen. It's probably the last thing I'm gonna do. Giving Scottie Pippen a bigger statue. I do not like Scottie Pippen's statue. I think it should be bigger, and it should be also either outside or that one should be in the atrium, at least. You know what I mean? Like it should be a bigger statue. It's a beautiful looking statue. It's nice. You know, the jersey is clean, the smile, the hands on the hips, but that's not Scottie Pippen. That's not how we know him. There's no action pose for Scottie. You know, this is a six-time NBA champion. This is one of the greatest small forwards to ever play. And he looks like just a guy who was there, and he wasn't. He was incredible. His statue shouldn't be something I mention when I say, hey, where's the bathroom? Oh, make a left at the Scottie Pippen statue. I shouldn't be saying things like that. Like that's a problem for me. That's a problem. Like Scottie should have more love on the statue situation. I want his statue bigger, and I want that one in the atrium if you don't want to put it outside. So those are the things that I'm gonna do, that I'm gonna take care of while Jerry West is running day to day, and then I'll get back to him as far as the players and all those other things concerned. But those are the first things I'm doing.
Do we have to give the Scottie Pippen statue like an actual buzz cut or an actual fade?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because I like Scotty with the, well, he had the high top and then he
Yeah.
rolled. Then he had the low fade and then he had the bald, which was terrible. I like Fro Scotty if I had to pick. I like Fro Scotty. He had it tapered on the sides, you know, kind of lined up nice and neat on the back. So that was about 95, from 95 on, you know,
Okay.
that hairstyle he was picking from 95 to 98. That hairstyle that Scottie was rocking, yeah, that's the Scottie Pippen fro I'm kind of gonna go with.
I think that's the hairstyle that they have on the statue now. So the hair's good. Okay. That
Hair can stay.
that's a very important question. So I think the next though, because the medical staff, that's always one that's seemingly brought up in every episode we've had so far. But another question that I ask people is, you know, you have Jim Boylan under contract. So now that you've taken over, are you inheriting Jim Boylan and just kind of letting that play out? Or would you say, I'm just going to pay you to walk and we'll bring in the guy that our front office wants?
You know what? After, if you had asked me this question last year, I would have said pay him to walk and get him out of here. After I spoke to Jim Boylan and after I talked to Ryan Arcidiacono, I would keep him for this year. I would at least give him a chance to show me what he can do this year with a full roster, you know, with everything under his belt and things like that. Because the moves I've seen being made as far as who he's putting on his coaching staff, I've liked. You know, I like having Roy Rogers. I think that's a good move. I like having Chris Fleming. I think that's a really good move, having two assistants, because what you're doing is saying you're recognizing your shortcomings and you bring in people to help with that instead of just bringing in yes men, you know? So that I like about Jim Boylan. And Jim Boylan is a people person. And he likes people, man. And he deals very well with that. Even that we talked, Matt and I talked to him for about 20 minutes. And he was completely engaging and he was honest. He was straightforward about a lot of things. And I appreciated him for that. I was like, okay, you know what? I actually like that. I like that honesty, and I like that those things that you're portraying. Now, some of the things I saw him doing on the sideline when he was coaching, Lord have mercy. I bring up this play often. I talk about it a lot. The play when they were playing, I believe it was Washington, when they had the four people on the court. You remember that Felicio forgot to get down the court yes. in the fourth quarter. You remember that play? Felicio wasn't the one I was completely mad at. I was super mad at Jim Boylan because he was actually at half court coaching the team. First of all, you're not supposed to be at half court. Second of all, if you're at half court, that means you can see there are four people down there. How don't you recognize the biggest dude on your team isn't down there? And he's just down there coaching them, telling them what defensive stances to get in. And he doesn't look and say, oh, my goodness, there are four people there. Oh, man, where's Felicia? He doesn't do that at all. So that drove me insane that he didn't recognize that. The fact that he got into it with Doc Rivers, you know what I mean? And both of them get kicked out. The fact he got into it with that Phoenix Suns coach who wouldn't even shake his hand after the game. You know coaching is a fraternity. Coaches never really say anything bad about one another. Jeff Van Gundy is bringing up Tim Floyd during the finals, for God's sakes. Like, they never say anything bad about each other. But to see the Phoenix Suns coach and to see Doc Rivers both not like Jim Boylan for those moves that he did says something to me. I had never seen anything like that as far as coaches was concerned. Now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because that season was crazy. He came in the middle of it. I mean, the 56-point loss, the whole, you know, Boston Celtics practice gate thing that happened. That was all that stuff is insane. But I want to give him a shot. I want to give him a shot for 1 year to show me what he can do and if he should be the guy leading this team, this Chicago Bulls team into the future. I'll give him a year. I'll give him 1 year and we'll see.
So once you have those pieces in place, you're going to keep boiling around, test him out, new medical staff. You're bringing in sort of a czar of your basketball operations. Looking at, though, the current roster right now. So Bulls fans, they look at the core as Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine. And it's kind of you're lucky that you're on this week because there's been a lot that's been thrown out in the last week about those three. We've seen reports and rumblings that the Bulls look at Carter and Markkanen as untouchables and that Zach LaVine might be somebody that could be floated out there. In your opinion, if you were taking over this operation and you're looking at those three specifically, are any of those guys untouchable in your opinion?
The only one of them that I would think would be untouchable would be Lauri Markkanen. I've been a big Lauri Markkanen fan. I think Lauri Markkanen should be the number one on this team for it to move forward. I'm huge on Lauri Markkanen. I'm really big on Lauri. I can be talked into Wendell Carter Jr. I can be talked into it, but it's going to have to be a heck of a conversation because I don't want to let him go either. But I could be talked into that. Zach LaVine, I could let go. I could let go of Zach. And I don't know. It bothers me why I'm so comfortable letting Zach go. Maybe because I'm like, okay, I can get another guard that can shoot. I'll get another guard that can create his own shot and things like that. I'm huge on Lauri Markkanen, and I'm about building around him and putting things around him to make him better. But for me, Lauri Markkanen is my piece. So he would be, out of those three, he would be the one that I think would be untradeable.
You know, it's interesting you said that about Zach LaVine, because I brought this up on our last episode that kind of it's tricky because you don't want to give him up for nothing. Zach LaVine. Like, you don't want to give him up for just, you know, any old draft pick. But if it was something like a move where you could get an impact player or an impact player in this upcoming draft, like, you know, a Ja Morant or something, I mean, I get why it's worth considering because it's harder to find really good point guards or really good stretch fours. It's easier to find really athletic wings and two guards in this league.
Correct. No, it's absolutely true. And credit to Zach, because Zach, nobody was high on Zach when we got him. I can think only a handful of people, including myself, who were like, dude, Zach LaVine can play basketball. Like, he's really good. He's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. This dude's work ethic is awesome. He wants it. And that's a huge part of it. You know, having all the talent. We've seen so many guys have all the talent and all the tools and, you know, all those other great things, but they don't work on their game and they don't want to be that guy. And they never, you know, just become that person. Even after years and years and years of people waiting for it, it just never, ever happens. It never develops into that. Zach wants it. And he showed you last year and even the year before when he came back in the middle of the season that, dude, I want to be the guy. I want to be the man. Give me the basketball. Let me take this team. Put everybody, get on my back, get on my shoulders. Let me carry you guys to the promised land. That's what he wants. And I like the fact that he's like that. I just don't think he's the one. That's really all my thing is on it. Like, I just don't think if Zach LaVine is your best player, if he is your number one guy, I don't see you going super duper far. I just don't see it.
What would it take for you to part with a guy like Zach LaVine, though? Like, you've seen probably some of the trade scenarios that have been thrown out there. He's being thrown this AD trade package. But what would it take for you to move a guy like Zach LaVine?
Well, it would take more than just a draft pick. I don't want to do the trades I heard. You know that trade you heard today where the Bulls got Lonzo Ball, the number four pick, and I think Solomon Hill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And giving up Zach LaVine and their number seven pick. You know, when I first heard it, I told people I didn't hate it. I wouldn't do it. But it wasn't insane to me. People were going crazy and losing their minds of it because they were like, there's no way you do that. I didn't find it completely insane, but I wouldn't do it. Like, you're going to have to give me more. He's worth more than that. He's worth more than those things you were offering me. Who would I give? Who would? Oh, man. It would have to be a all-star, a multiple all-star kind of guy. And, you know, I'm going to need another draft pick with it. Like, so if you're giving me, let's even say if you give me Chris Middleton and you're giving me a pick or two with that, I would honestly consider it. I really would consider that. I would be like, you know, that might work because I like Chris Middleton the way he spots up and knows his role on the team already. Chris Middleton knows he's a two. And if he's open, when Laurie gets that ball in that post and he's double teamed, that kick out to Middleton and, you know, him creating his own shot and you can't leave him, is going to space that floor and make it so much easier for guys like Otto Porter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen and even with Wendell. And plus his length and his height, you know what I mean? Like, those things all play into it. So it would be something like that. But for Lonzo and a four, even though I do want Lonzo, but for Lonzo and a four, I wouldn't do that. I think a little more higher of Zach LaVine than that.
Yeah, and I feel like it's something maybe, especially just judging the current rumors that we've heard, I feel like just wait, you know, because you never know what kind of deals could be coming down the road as your team gets better that you might be able to pull off with a guy like Zach LaVine. This is my opinion on it.
No, you're absolutely right, because there's no reason for them to rush. The only team in a rush is the Pelicans. Like, they're the only ones in a rush. The Bulls can sit back and wait and see. So, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So let's get into the draft a little bit. So you're going to have the number seven pick. If it were up to you, are you keeping it, trading down, trading up, or are you using it to trade for a player? You know, you brought up Lonzo Ball, but maybe a different player. It doesn't have to be him.
This is where it gets tough. It's a three-person draft, as we all know. It's a three-person draft. Zion, John, RJ Barrett. After that, it's a crapshoot. About who you want. Now, I'm not saying those guards can't play. I mean, DeAndre Hunter can play. I'm not huge on Culver, but he can play. You know, Garland, Kobe White. You know, these guys can play some basketball. We understand. Cam Reddish. Like, these guys can play. With that pick, I would be looking at taking a risk, because that's just me. I like taking a risk and taking a thing. I honestly would be looking at down Boa. And trying to trade, maybe even trading that pick down to get down Boa, because I just like the fact that he's 18 years old and 6'9" and super athletic. I don't know if you've seen the guy over in France, but 6'9", super athletic, super young. Trading down and taking him, I would not have a problem with. I think this is the kind of draft you can actually take a risk in. This is not a sure thing draft. The last two previous drafts, yeah, you had sure things going in those. You got to take those sure things in that. This one, I think you're allowed to take a risk in this draft. So me, if I can't get, let's say, if I can't get a guy like Kobe White, let's say Kobe White is gone, I honestly will be looking at trading that pick down and trying to get Sekou Doumbouya, and just to take the risk on him, because the fact that he could even still be growing, it might turn into be 7 feet tall, you know, with that kind of athleticism that he has. I really, really like his game. So I would be taking that kind of risk in this kind of draft. I really would.
Well, and you can also potentially get a pick from, you know, the team that you're trading down with. You might get a pick in next year's draft, and there's talk next year's draft might have, it might be pretty deep or a little bit deeper than this year's.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Like, it's so much room to operate for me in this draft when nothing is sure. Like, I don't see a sure thing. Maybe everybody else might see sure things in certain players, but I just don't. Everybody else just looks like they could be okay, or they could be good, you know, or he might be an all-star. Like, I don't see for sure, like, oh, yeah, like, we got to take him. We have to have that guy. I don't see that yet in this draft, but we'll see.
All right, let me throw out a crazy hypothetical your way. If you get a call from, let's say, the Memphis Grizzlies, and they say, Dave, look, we have the number two pick, and we know that you had some, your team had interest in John Morant. He's probably the best point guard in this draft. We're willing to give you the number two pick, but you have to take on the bad contract of Chandler Parsons. There's only 1 year left on it, but you have to take that contract on. And we'll take Zach LaVine and the number seven pick. Are you doing it?
Done. Deal. Yep, sure am. Definitely doing that. I'm a huge John Morant fan. Colossal. I'm a huge John Morant fan. I wrote an article about him for NBC Sports Chicago. John Morant is something like, I love, point guard is my favorite position in basketball. And what I always notice about what great point guards do is great point guards remove thinking. Like, players love playing with great point guards who remove thinking. Rondo removes thinking. Jason Kidd, John Stockton, Magic, Isaiah, you know, all those kind of guys. You didn't have to think. You just had to go. That's it. You know, you didn't have to worry about, oh, man, where do I need to be? Is he going to give me the ball when I'm open right here? Should I box this guy out? You know what I'm saying? Should I be in the post on this position? You don't have to think. All you have to do is react, because that point guard already knows exactly where you have to be. He's going to let you know where you have to be. And all you have to do is just react. And you can see, if you watch the Murray State, they loved playing with him. As soon as the rebound came to him, they were already up the floor and already flying down the floor, man. Like, it was just beautiful to watch. John Morant is going to be a stud in this league. And I am super high on what he could be. Potentially in this league. So, yeah, I would do that immediately. If I get Ja Morant and I compare him with Lauri Markkanen needs a point guard. That's the one thing I always feel like Lauri needs is a point guard, because Lauri is not a guy who's going to go do it himself. He reminds me of Dirk so much. And the reason, what did Dirk have when he first got into the league? He had Steve Nash. He had a point guard to remove that thinking for him. Steve was just like, go there, I get you the ball, you shoot it, you score, you know? And then when he won the title, he had Jason Kidd. You know, like, he had point guards around him because they have to help to remove the thinking and help build your confidence like that by getting you the ball exactly where you want it and letting you know where you need to be. Lauri reminds me of that kind of guy. So, and when I would watch Lauri overseas play, he had a really serious point guard with him. That point guard they had was a real deal dude. So he needs that. He just needs that point guard with him, man. So I absolutely, in 2 seconds, would say deal and make that trade. No question about it.
So if you end up keeping the number seven pick, are you picking based on need or are you taking best player available? I think I know where you're going with this one since you brought up point guard quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If I'm keeping that, I'm definitely taking Kobe White. If we're keeping that pick, I'm gonna take Kobe White, and I'm gonna draft him. For me, I don't think Garland will be there. I think he'll be gone. I actually don't think Garland would be the fit that the Bulls need, but I think Garland will be a NBA star. He's gonna be good. Okay, he's gonna be good. But I think he needs his own basketball team. He just needs to run his own squad, and I think he'll be better in that. Kobe White, I like him because we're running a system here, and Kobe White actually can do that. He can fit into a system, and I like what I see about that. And I talked a lot about Kobe White when he goes to the bucket and the angles that he takes when he goes to the buckets and the way he uses his size to score, the way that he uses his body. It was really impressive to me how he would do that. And those are the little things I look for in my point guard. And, of course, he's tough. He's scrappy. He'll play hard on both ends of the floor. And, you know, really excellent passer. I like what I see from Coby White. I think he'd be a good solid pick for the Chicago Bulls if we keep that 7th pick. Yes.
Let's break down some of the guys that are currently on the roster that are sort of on the fringe. I'll start with Chris Dunn before we get just into some rapid fire. But what are you doing with Chris Dunn?
Oh man, I'm gonna put him on the Boylan diet. I'm gonna give him that 1 year. But he will be coming off the bench for sure. I gotta say, man, it doesn't bring me pleasure to talk negatively about Chris Dunn. It doesn't feel good to speak like that, because I thought very, very highly of Chris Dunn, especially when we got him. I was like, oh yes, because I wanted him in the draft when they took him at the number 5 pick. I was like, this dude is the kind of guy I like. Yeah, man, I was really high on him. I really liked his game. I liked his mental makeup. I liked everything about him. And I was like, I didn't judge him by Minnesota because Tibbs doesn't play rookies. So I was like, no, I saw enough to say I'm happy to have him. And then when he came in last year, he was doing his thing. And I was like, yes, this is a good guard right here. But he would have mental lapses every once in a while. Of course, like breaking his face on the floor when he couldn't hold on to the rim for a dunk. But it was really heartbreaking and disappointing watching him last year, because out of everybody I was looking at last year, he is the only player that regressed. And he just, I don't know what happened. I mean, he just went backwards. Like, just the mental lapses became much larger. His shooting was never great, but he was shooting better, you know, the previous season. Now his jumps are just not good at all. He yells after a free throw for some reason. I don't know why he yells after every time he scores. Like, it's crazy. But it doesn't look good when you're yelling and you're down 20 and, you know, you're doing all that kind of stuff. He was known as a defender. He kind of regressed, you know, as a defender to me last year. I thought he was just okay. Nothing he did really just leaped off the page for you last year. But I would give him one more year if he was willing to come off the bench. Because I think he'd be great as a backup after what I saw last year. I said, yeah, I can take a little bit of you in spurts, and I can deal with that. If I need a defensive stop, yeah, you bring him in. I don't want him to change his mentality, because obviously that's what got him here and that's what got him to the NBA. But some of his game has to change. Like, he can't think of himself first and be a point guard. Like, that's just not how that works, especially if you're trying to be a good one. If you're going to think of yourself first and be that, then you have to be a great shooter. You know what I mean? That's the only way that works. You got to be Damian Lillard. You know what I mean? Like, you can be like that, but you got to be a guy who can put the ball into the basket. Not his thing. I just would like him to improve on his floor vision. I like to him improve on those mental lapses I see. Free throw shooting, your point guard shouldn't be that terrible at free throw shooting. Another thing I'm sure we'll get into with Lonzo. But yeah, I would like him to come off the bench though, like for that 1 year. If he's willing to, he come off the bench. If he's not willing to, then, you know, we could, you know, holler at you later.
Let's get into some of the other players too. And I'll just kind of go rapid fire. You tell me if you're going to keep them or try to shop them. C-Red Fred's favorite player, Denzel Valentine.
That's a C-Red Fred classic right there. Oh man, it's tough because on his team he's an actual threat. You know, he's an actual shooter on his team. He shot what, 38% from three last year, if yes. I'm not mistaken.
Well, as he shot 38.5, because I've heard that from C-Red Fred quite a bit.
Okay, 38.5% as a shooter. Man, I would hold on to him. I would hold on to him strictly for the shooting. Now, it disturbs me that he's that tall and can't dunk, and that he's slow, and that I watched him airball layups, like things I've never really seen before. But that 38% is serious business. And the fact he actually can dribble, you know, is key. And he can kind of, you know, be a bootleg Otto Porter Jr. as far as, you know, getting everybody into position and where they need to be on the offensive end for your bench. I think that would be those things he can do well. But that shooting alone would make me want to keep him for 1 year just to see. But if I see any lapses in that, I mean, he's on a short leash, man. And I'm giving Jerry West the word real quick and say, you know, he's got to go. Like, we got to get something for him, seriously.
All right, how about Shaq Harrison?
I thought about Shaq a lot. I think Shaq can go, to be honest. I like him. It's not that I don't like Shaq Harrison. I do. A guy, you know, tough guy, you know, plays hard defensive end. Was a better offensive player than everybody thought. But I got enough of those guys on my team. I mean, I got Ryan Arcidiacono. Like, so basically I'll be choosing between those two. Like, am I choosing Archie or am I choosing Shaq? And I honestly would probably go with Archie over that, because I just like the way Archie ran the actual offense when he was given an opportunity to. You know, he didn't mess anything up, and I like that. Shaq plays like if he was taller, he might be the second best player on your team. That's how he plays. I'm not saying that's what his skills. I'm just saying that's how he plays. If he was a little taller, yeah, he might be that guy, because he's going to the bucket. You saw him going to the bucket hard. Mm-hmm. The way he can score quickly and in spurts, and the way he plays is tough, man. Like, he's really a solid basketball player. But if I'd be okay with letting him go, I don't think I'd lose sleep over letting him go. But he's got the best hairline on the team. Whoever is cutting him up, it's impressive. Whoever's giving him a fade. So, but yeah, I'd be okay with letting him go.
So you would. I was going to ask about Arcidiacono a little later. So it sounds like Arcidiacono would win that battle if you had to pick between the two.
Yeah, if I had to pick between, I would go with Archie. They're both the same player to me, but I just like what Archie does better at that point guard position as far as a facilitator.
Would you try to get the bad taste of Cristiano Felicio out of your mouth?
Listen to me, Matt. Listen to me closely. I will go by a van and sit it right outside of his house. I will get a special one for him. I'll make it all black. It will have no windows or nothing. I will put him in this van. I will give him a platinum megabus ticket and send him wherever he wants to go. I don't want any part of Felicio. He can go. Peace. He can be up out of here, man. He can get in the van. That's how we say on our show when we want to get rid of somebody. We just say, get in the van. We say, bro, get in the van, because that lets you know where you stand with us. Get in the van. We'll let you know on your ticket. Some people, we get a plane ticket. When we traded Jimmy Butler, we were like, no, Jimmy gets a first-class ticket. He might get a private jet out of here, okay? Because he was incredible for us, all right? Felicio, you get the van, bro. He get in the van, bro. Get your platinum megabus ticket, and you get in the van. We will drop you right off at the station, man. You get on in there. Thanks for coming. No, I don't want any part of Felicio. I would take a loss on Felicio, man, to get him up out of here, bro. I don't want any part of that dude on this squad anymore. I don't want to watch it anymore.
I'll give you another person here. Wayne Selden.
You know, yeah, he can go too. I mean, Wayne can go. I can replace that. I can replace Wayne Selden. I can find a player like Wayne Selden. I can replace that with somebody else. Like, and I liked him. I mean, he was another guy we got, you know. Was it the holiday trade, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we got him. Nobody was expecting anything at all. He was another guy that you know, overachieved and overperformed and really well. We called him Big Brain Wayne on our show because we liked the way he would think out there on the court. We enjoy watching that. But then as the responsibilities got higher, then he started falling off. You know, like he just didn't look the same out there to me anymore. I'm not gonna fall in love with role players. I'm not that kind. I've never been that kind of guy. I think that's gotten the Bulls in trouble a lot over the years. So I can replace Wayne. You can get you another Wayne Selden, I think. Solid basketball player and a solid person for everything we've read about him. And I like his hair too. So yeah, but I think he can go though. Wayne can go. Wayne can go. He won't be in the van though. He don't get a van.
All right, I'm gonna test this because you know you said the Bulls like to fall in love with role players, but I feel like a lot of Bulls fans fall in love with this guy. Would you consider bringing back Robin Lopez if it's at the right price?
Ooh, yeah, you're right. You're about to test it hard on this one. Consider it. Yeah, I consider it. I would. And it's not that I fall in love with a role player. I'm strictly thinking of what I saw him do on the court. Listen, in 1 year, he changed his entire game. In 1 year. If you remember beforehand, he was taking 15-foot jump shots, shooting from the top of the key. He was not dribbling or anything like that. Setting hard screens. You know what I mean? He was doing, you know, very simple things. And in 1 year, this dude is doing dream shakes and, you know, getting the ball and is an actual threat in the post. Like, do you know how many times and how weird it sounded to say Robin Lopez is going to win this game for us? That sounds insane to me, but it was the truth. Like, people like, sit Robin Lopez down. He's going to mess up our draft position and things like that. Like, that sounds crazy. Like, sit Robin Lopez? It's Robin Lopez. Like, dude, it's Robin Lopez. I like him. I like what he brought as a player. Now, I'm sure people, and I'm not going to say I don't either, but fall in love with him for the things he does off the court. He's a mainstay as far as the NBA is concerned, as far as, you know, messing with the mascots and things like that. Having a veteran presence in that locker room, just having his whole vibe, his whole aura around my locker room, I think is really good to have. And he's super intelligent. You know, those things are really good to have on your team. The key words you said, sir, is at the right price. Now, at the right price, I would consider it. If somebody wants to pay him astronomical amount of money to go on their team, you know, God bless you. He can roll. That's fine. He can get on out of here for that. I'm not going to overpay for him. But if Robin Lopez tells me he wants to be here and gives me a nice deal on it, I'd be silly to not consider bringing him back here after what I saw him do last year on the court.
2 years, $21 million.
2 years, $21 million for Robin Lopez.
I think there might be a team that might be dumb enough to throw something that way.
A team would definitely pay him that. I don't think I'd do that. I don't think I'd give him that much money. I don't think I'd do that one. No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go into the free agency period. So, how are you attacking this? Because it's going to be your first one. You're still kind of in that rebuilding mindset, right? So, are you trying to attack this a little more conservatively? Are you maybe trying to make a decent splash on one of those restricted free agents? What are some moves that you might try to make in the 2019 offseason?
Well, I think I will be looking to replace all those players you mentioned, like all those role players that you mentioned. I will be looking to replace them with some upgrades. So I would just be looking at certain players that I could get a nice little upgrade on. I really like Julius Randle. I like Julius Randle, especially because of the deal that he came in on. That deal he came with, 2 years, $11 million for that? Yeah, that's, for me, I'm like, yeah, that's a solid deal. And I like his game. Excuse me. And the fact that he's left-handed also always helps when you're in the NBA. A left-handed player in the league with that kind of skill will always, you know, help your style. And I don't know where he would fit in anymore with the Pelicans, with Zion coming there. If he wants to stay coming off the bench, I mean, he could do that. That's fine. But I don't know. I would be looking at guys like him. Like, Julius Randle really intrigues me. Now, if I don't, then I would just honestly be looking to fill in those roles with players I just think are better than Wayne Seldon and Shaq Harrison. Like, I'm looking at, I don't know, let's say I'm looking at Jeremy Lamb. You know, I'm looking at Rodney Hood. I'm even looking at the old Bulls. You know, you take a look at those guys. You take a look at Noah. You take a look at Taj. You take a look at Rose. And I'm guessing Taj would be the guy I would choose out of those three, because he would be the less polarizing, you know, of those three to come here. Rose, I'm not a guy who doesn't want Rose here because of his skill. I think Rose would be great here because of the way he played, like just his game. But it would be so, I mean, anything he does, you know, would be just so huge and so big as far as the scrutiny is concerned and the microscope. He would be completely under that microscope all of the time. And if I had to choose among those guys who to bring, it would be Taj. Taj is the hard hat, lunch pail dude. Everybody likes Taj Gibson. He's like French fries. You know what I'm saying? Everybody likes French fries. So I would be looking at a guy like Taj to bring in. I even looked at Ed Davis on Brooklyn. You know, I like Ed Davis on Brooklyn. I like those gritty guys coming off my bench, you know, change of pace kind of thing, you know, when you come off that bench. I think when you're dealing with my second unit, I want you to deal with a little tougher defensively. You know, that's just how I look at it. Like, I'd like it to be a little tougher defensively with that little sweet little jump shot, you know what I'm saying? A little offensive like somebody like you know how Charles Oakley used to be or something like that, or Brandon Bass or somebody like that. Those kind of guys I'd like coming off the bench. I've heard Marcus Morris's name also brought up from Boston. As a player, I don't have a problem with it. As a person in the locker room, I would have a problem with it. because just because of the things that I've heard about him in the locker room, how he's not that kind of guy. I don't think he's the kind of guy I'm bringing on this kind of team right now. If we're ready to win a championship or competing for that, then I think Marcus Morris is a good fit for that. But for what we're trying to build right now, I would pass on that. And I, you know, anybody like guys like Rudy Gay, I would be looking at. Even I would look at Goran Dragic. I probably would pass on it, but you know, I'd look at him and see.
I was going to ask, if you don't get a point guard in the draft, are you considering any of the point guards that we hear about? You know, it seems like Bulls fans are salivating over Patrick Beverley. You have Ricky Rubio, Darren Collison. Any of those guys interest you?
Pat Beverley interests me. Ricky Rubio, I've never been a fan of. I've never been a big fan of Ricky, or as I call him, the artist formerly known as Ricky Rubio, because when he went to Utah, he turned into somebody who looks like he dates Diane Lane for some reason. Like, he got the hair, and you know, like he's you know, like I saw him in Unfaithful or something, man. Like he looked like that dude in there. Like he paints or something, you know. But Ricky Rubio has always been so interesting because you've seen him do really dope things on the court. Like you've seen him like, wow, that was really good, Ricky. But it's not consistent, you know, and it's just not consistent at all. And I'm just not a huge fan. And for the price, too, I don't know. I'm not a huge Ricky Rubio person. I'm definitely not a Darren Collison guy. I was for about a year when he was in Indiana for about a year. That one year he had a really excellent year. I'm not really big on those guys right there. But yeah, I would be just looking at somebody who could just fill that kind of void. If Ricky Rubio is the last option for me to take, okay. But out of those three, I'm definitely looking at Pat Beverley. Cause like I said, on my bench, I want that toughness when you come off. I want the other team to know you're not getting a break when my second unit comes in. Like you about to deal with some dogs right now. So yeah, I would love for Patrick Beverley to be that backup point guard for the team. Not the starting point guard, but I would love him as a backup.
Would you possibly consider making a minor splash with a signing like, let's say, D'Angelo Russell happens to be available? The Nets might pursue, you know, Kyrie Irving and another piece. Would you consider making a splash with a guy like D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, I think you definitely have to consider it. Because of the player that he is and the skill that he has. I mean, coming off that all-star performance, I mean, he was great all season.
Is he a good fit?
That's what I was going to get into. That's where the problem is. When you're looking at it, where does he fit on his team and what does he do? He's not your typical point guard. He's what I talked about with Garland. He's a guy who, you know, scores. You know, he can put the ball in the bucket. Not to say he doesn't get guys involved, but that's not really, you know, what he went to the all-star game for. He can score. He puts the ball into the basket very, very well. And I don't know if I need that at that position for the Bulls. Because if I have him and I got Zach LaVine, I mean, Lauri Markkanen is just – I mean, then you're arguing is Lauri Markkanen your third option. And Lauri Markkanen should never be your third option on this team, in my opinion. He should not be an argument for a third option. So yeah, I would consider it definitely. I would definitely be looking at it just because of the talent that this young man has, man, and the fact that we are so devoid of it, and we need talent and things like that. So yeah, I would definitely consider it. In the end, oh man, honestly, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know. I don't know which way I would go on D'Angelo Russell in the end. I don't know which way I could go because I think you could make a good argument either way.
Interesting. What about Malcolm Brogdon? Is that a name that intrigues you at all?
It does. I like Malcolm Brogdon. I like his game. I like how he plays. He can shoot, but he's not a shoot first guy. I can't tell you how much I love facilitators. I just love them so much. The way guys can get guys open and can see three moves ahead, you know, like they're playing chess or something. I love guys like that. And Malcolm Brogdon, man, yeah, and he can shoot. And he can shoot the basketball. And he doesn't need the ball to be a problem. You know, he doesn't need to pound, pound, pound the ball and then, okay, come set this screen and let me come off this screen and jack this three up. That's not him. He doesn't need this game. He doesn't need that at all. You can get the ball inside to Lauri or to Wendell, and when they get doubled or something, swing that ball to Otto Porter Jr., You come out, you get on him, you can swing that back to Brogdon. Boom, three right there. He's that kind of player. He's that kind of intelligent, you know, when I watch him play. So, yeah, I would definitely be looking at him. I like his game. I really like Malcolm Brogdon's game.
Now that you have your game plan for the offseason sort of set up, or you have an idea of where you want to go with things, what's your expectation for the 2020 season with what you've lined up there? Are you looking to get a low seed in the playoffs? Are you just still trying to get some growth this upcoming season, just kind of see what happens?
Oh, we're looking at the playoffs. Oh, it's no question. If I'm going in like that, and I've got Jim Boylan on this 1 year, and I got Chris Dunn on this 1 year, and we're focused like that, like, yeah, I'm looking at an eighth seed. I'm looking at it. Because looking at it last year, when I saw Detroit and I saw Orlando, I'm like, are the Bulls worse than them? Like, I really had to ask myself that. Are we worse than these guys? Because I don't think they were. I think they were injured, and I don't think they were as cohesive as a unit as those guys were. But I didn't see, like, oh, man, we are just completely this terrible. We shouldn't even be thinking about being an eighth seed. I don't believe that. I don't see that when I look at this team. I think that they can be competing for an AFC next year. I really think that when I watch them play all together, like that February is probably what gives me the most fuel. When I saw them come together that February and they got Otto Porter Jr. in the trade for Portis and Parker, and you just saw how much fun basketball could be, because it was so much fun to watch them play. And Laurie was had an incredible, he averaged 26 and 12 that February. They were having an awesome month, like, because everybody had, you actually had a way to go. You know, you had a path, you know, you knew what you wanted to do, and you had the right guys plugged into the right situation. So I want to see a whole season. If I can see a whole season of that, I don't see how that can't be competing for the eighth seed in the East against Orlando or Detroit. I don't see it.
To kind of get that team into title contention, what are some things that you are thinking about in 2020 and beyond? Do you have a wish list of guys that you'd start targeting? Do you kind of have a game plan of how you would maybe make some certain players available? How are you trying to get to that next level in the near future?
Oh, well, one is prayer. definitely be some prayer, because it's going to take some serious time. Everything for me, again, is built around Lauri Markkanen. I'm about his development, and the time it's going to take for him to develop. That's obviously going to take some years. And Wendell's development also is going to take some years. Now, within that time, hopefully they play well enough to where guys around the league can actually say, oh, this team actually looks fun. I might want to come play with somebody like that. This team actually looks like a cool young team to play with. You know, like I would be working on that more so to try to get, because if you're relying on, you know, the front office's history, then, you know, nobody's coming here, you know, because nobody, you know, we don't have to go down the history at all. You know what it is. So I would be relying more so on the development of these players that we have to attract those kind of free agents, because I saw it last year when we played Detroit. And Blake Griffin was going up against Lauri Markkanen. And after the game, he spoke at length about how good Lauri Markkanen was. And he spoke at length about what he could do to be a better player. He was pointing out certain plays, like, oh, if he just does this right here, then, you know, he would make this move right there, and that would be better for him. And he just kept saying, but it's just going to take time. He's like, but this guy is serious. He can really play. You saw with Kristaps Porzingis when he raved about playing when he went against Lauri Markkanen. And he was like, no, the Bulls got something over there. They really, like, that's how you're going to attract free agents on this team. It's going to be by what players see on the court. Seriously, it's going to be by that kind of standard, because it won't be by reputation. It would definitely be by what they see performing on the court. So that's what be my focus to get free agents in here, is just the development of Lauri Markkanen and the development of Wendell Carter Jr. to what teams would want to come play with two guys like that.
You know, we brought it up a little earlier. You also have the Zach LaVine contract and the fact that he is a dynamic player on offense and a dynamic scorer. He could be a piece that you eventually move. Let's say there was an opportunity to get a disgruntled star like a Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell, let's say it's a couple years down the road. Are those kind of moves you're going to be pulling the trigger on if you can do that, or would you try to wait till free agency to add somebody of impact that might even be bigger than those two guys?
I would want to see the whole pie before I start, you know, taking a slice of it. Mm-hmm. I want to see everything first. And I'm not saying I'm not interested in Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell. I'm not saying that at all. But let me see everything first. Let me lay it out for me. What options do we have? Because, you know, you're not going to show your whole hand before the guys finish dealing. Like, that's silly. So I would want to see everything first. You got to show it to me first before I can make that decision. But Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell, yeah, of course that you would be definitely considering wanting to bring those guys in, one of those guys in on your team. I mean, these are all pro NBA players, and especially Damian Lillard, my goodness. Yeah, you would definitely be wanting to bring those guys in, but I would want to see everything first. Just show me everything first.
I'll throw a really crazy one out at you as we wrap up here. If the Milwaukee Bucks, they start trending downward in the next couple seasons here, the next few seasons, and Giannis Antetokounmpo looks around and goes, you know what, I kind of like what they're doing down there in Chicago, and Milwaukee calls you and says, hey, he's interested in coming, he's interested in signing an extension, what would you give up to get a guy like that?
To get Giannis? Oh, what do you want? What you want, Giannis? Please, just name it. What you need, bro? Like, you want to borrow the statue for a little bit? Like, what you need? Just tell me what you need.
What if it was Lauri Markkanen?
Yes, I'm making that trade. I would definitely make that trade. I'm going to make a trade for Lauri Markkanen to get Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because as much as I love Lauri, you're talking about an MVP right now. Like, and a dude who, oh my God. Yes. Absolutely, I would make that move to trade my main man, Lauri Markkanen. And that's how much I respect Lauri, because you got to give me somebody like Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll let that go. You can do that. But yeah, what do you want? Just tell me what you need. You know, consider me a Spice Girl. Just tell me what you want, what you really, really want. And I got you. And just say it. Yes, I would love the Greek Freak to be that dude on this team. Absolutely. No question.
But Lauri gets a first class ticket, right?
Oh, my goodness. Does he? He gets to go home first. He can go to Finland, see his fam first, you know what I'm saying? Tell him what happened, you know, and then come on back. You know, he gets that flight miles both ways on us, man. I got him covered on that. I love me some Lauri Markkanen, man.
Let's wrap up here. What is the target year in your mind for getting this team into title contention?
Target year for getting this team into title contention, I'm going to say 6 years from now.
6 years.
6 years from now. The Bulls should be competing for an NBA title 6 years from now. Yes.
Okay. So 2025 season is what we're shooting for.
2025 season, yes. The Bulls, we should be looking at that. Yes.
All right. So you just heard Big Dave Watson's rebuilding plan. Dave, thanks again for coming on, and don't be a stranger.
I will not, Matt. Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.